We are so thankful again for all who have participated in this service and have made this service what it is. And we thank you for joining us on this day. Now, today is a very, very special day in our Christian tradition, our Christian worship. We know today is Palm Sunday. This represents the beginning of the Passion Week, the week when Jesus walked into Jerusalem or rode into Jerusalem to claim himself as king. And throughout the world, this day is being worshiped with palm leaves like this. Amen. Amen. And as we're coming from John chapter 12 today, the 12th chapter of John. And as you look forward, I just want to share with you that this is something that is in all four Gospels, the triumphal entry of Jesus. You can find it in Matthew 21. You can find it in Mark 11. You can find it in Luke 19. This begins the week that Jesus will be betrayed, the week that where he has the Last Supper, and he prays in the Garden of Gethsemane. This is the week that Jesus will be arrested. This is the week that Jesus will be crucified. But the good news is this begins the week of the resurrection. And because he rose, we all have life. Now, as we look at John chapter 12 today, there are three groups of individuals that we're going to focus on, starting at the 12th verse. You know, there were the Passover visitors, the other ones who were heading towards Jerusalem for the Passover. There were the local folks who had witnessed Jesus raising Lazarus. And there were the religious leaders who did not care for Jesus. And I want to ask ourselves today, what group are we in as we look at this passage? As we look at the 12th verse of John 12, it says, the next day, a great multitude that had come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him and cried, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. The point I want to lift up on this is the reaction of the worshiping crowd. Whenever Jesus is present, you always have people of God worshiping God. Now, even though we are distant right now, we are still worshiping God. We don't have to be in a group, but one day we will be back together. But until then, we are worshiping in place. Amen. We might be socially distanced, but we are spiritually connected. As we look at this, as Jesus was coming, there was a great multitude who had come also to the Passover feast, and they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. Now, mind you, back in those days, they did not have the modern technology that we have today. There was nobody to post it on Facebook that Jesus was coming to town. There was nobody who could text to their friends that Jesus was on the way. But yet they knew, yet they heard, regardless of what condition we are in, my brothers and sisters, the word will still get out. The word can still get out. They heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. And they took those branches and palm trees and went out to meet him and cried, Hosanna! Hosanna means save now, salvation now. And the palm branches is symbolic of the way they welcome heroes who are coming back from war. Those who had been victorious in victory, they welcomed them with palm branches. This is a time to rejoice. Peace is at hand. It's a symbol of peace, and it is a symbol of victory. So they had the palm branches. They laid them down on the ground, as you see in other verses, so that the colt he rode on, the donkey he rode on, his feet would not touch the ground, but would touch the clothing, would touch the palm leaves. This is a worshiping crowd. They are seeing the Savior come. They took the branches. They took the branches. Psalm 118, verse 25 says, "Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. I beseech thee, send now prosperity. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord." You know, there is a psalm that is sung in our churches, a song called "Victory is Mine." Victory is mine. Can you imagine this group as they hear that Jesus is coming, that they are singing, "Victory is ours. We have the elements of the victory. We have the palm branches. We are shouting. We recognize that this is the Savior. And he is the fulfillment of Scripture." Then you look at verse 14. "Then Jesus, when he had found a young donkey, sat on it, as it is written, 'Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt.'" Jesus sent his disciples to find a colt, a donkey that had never been ridden on before, and told his disciples to bring that to me. This is fulfillment of Scripture from Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. And in that Scripture, it talks about Jesus coming in humility and without pomp and circumstance. Zechariah 9:9, allow me to read it to you. It says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, the king cometh upon thee. He is just, having salvation, lowly, and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass." That's the King James translation. "Jesus came on a donkey for his entrance, rather than a chariot, like a conquering hero." My brothers and sisters, we know the parades that soldiers deserve when they come back from battle after being victorious. They come back with great pomp and circumstance. But it was prophesied in Zechariah that Jesus would not come that way. Jesus would come full of humility. Jesus would come in a way that was not worthy in the world's eye of a conquering hero. But you know, I am so glad that the world does not see things the way that God sees things. I am so glad that my brothers and sisters, that we are the recipients of the humility of Jesus. We are the recipients of the passion of Jesus. We are the recipients of the glory of Jesus. So as we look at the 16th verse, we switch. We've looked at the worshiping crowd, those who came to the Passover to worship, those who heard that Jesus was coming. Now we're going to look at the reaction of his disciples. And look at verse 16. It says, "His disciples did not understand these things at first. But when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered these things were written about him, and that they had done these things to him." Now, the disciples, these were individuals who had been with Jesus for the better part of 3 years, who had been taught by him, who had watched him heal individuals, who had watched him pray, who had watched him feed the multitude, who had watched him teach the multitude. These were the same disciples who watched as he told to see, to be at peace in the midst of the storm. But yet, at this time, they did not understand these things at first. They did not understand. They were confused of what was going on. They were foggy. They were confused. They did not understand what was going on. They had witnessed Jesus. They had sat among Jesus, but they did not understand. And my brothers and sisters, as we look forward in scripture, we see until Jesus was glorified, until Jesus ascended up into the Father, until Jesus sent the Holy Spirit, we see that they remain confused. These same disciples stayed locked up in the upper room out of fear. These same disciples, when Jesus came back to him, back to them after he had been glorified, they were afraid. These same disciples that Thomas, who was missing at the time when he came to the disciples, Thomas said, "I'm not going to believe it until I see it." Thomas is the same one in John chapter 14, verse 4, that when Jesus told him that he was going to be with the Father, Thomas was the one who said, "I don't know where you're going. I don't know when you're going." Now think about it, my brothers and sisters. They have been with Jesus for 3 years, but yet they were confused. Yet they did not understand. There are some who have sat in our pews for 3, 4, 50 years and are still confused, my brothers and sisters. Even among the worshiping crowd, there can be confusion. But the antidote to that confusion is through a relationship with Jesus Christ. And I understand why they are confused, because they have not been empowered yet by Jesus. I understand why they are confused, because they do not have the benefit of what we have today, the ability to go back and read what has gone on, the ability to confess Jesus for ourselves. They don't have that ability yet. But what is our excuse, my brothers and sisters, where we are still confused about Jesus and are amazed when we see his wonders and his works, when we know that he has all power in his hand? There is another group that was there. There was the witnessing crowd. Let's look at verse 17. "Therefore, the people who were with him when he called Lazarus out of his tomb raised him from the dead, they bore witness. And for this reason, the people also met him, because they heard that he had done signs." You know, there were some folks who witnessed Lazarus after he was raised from the dead. They knew that Jesus had done a miracle. Therefore, there were people who were with him when he called out Lazarus out of his tomb and raised him from the dead. They bore witness. They proclaimed publicly the good news that this is Jesus and he is the real deal. We witness the miracle that he did with Lazarus. And I got to believe there was others in the crowd that had witnessed the healings of Jesus. I've got to believe there were others in the crowd that might have been recipients of the feast in the Beatitudes when he fed the multitude with a few fish and a few loaves of bread. I've got to believe that there were recipients of that. And as recipients of his grace, my brothers and sisters, it's up to us to witness what Jesus has done in our life. It's up to us to witness the glory of God. It's up to us to witness that Jesus Christ is real. And I can feel him in my heart. You know, we live in a generation that unless they can see it, touch it, feel it, that they won't believe it. It's up to us to witness to them that Jesus is real. There was another group in the crowd, the Pharisees, the religious leaders, those who were trying to keep the status quo where they were in power, wanted nothing to do with Jesus because in their mind, the conquering hero that was prophesied in the Old Testament would not come on a donkey. In their mind, the conquering hero would not be born in some place like Nazareth in Galilee. Verse 19, the Pharisees therefore said among themselves, "You see that you are accomplishing nothing. Look, the world has gone after him." What they are saying is that everything we've done to try to disprove Jesus has not worked. Look, the people are still following him. Look at those folks waving those palm branches. Look at the individuals crying, "Hosanna, Hosanna." Look, we have agitated the community. We have stirred up the community. We have not been successful. They watch wondering what Jesus would do next. In their minds, everything they had tried to do to pass on the fake news of the generation did not work. They had plans going forth. And the plan was that we will get Jesus crucified for claiming to be king. But we all know the end of the story. We all know how that worked out. They were only fulfilling what God had planned in the first place. There will be some among us, my brothers and sisters, who will try to do everything they can to try and dissuade us from following Jesus. Don't follow them, but follow Jesus. Follow Jesus. So I shared with you three groups, groups of individuals that were there when Jesus was making his triumphal entry. I've shared with you the reaction from them. I shared with you the worshiping crowd, the witnessing crowd, even the disciples that were kind of doubtful and confused of what was going on, and the Pharisees, the religious leaders, who were putting actions in motion to dissuade the people from looking to Jesus as their Lord and as their Savior. But I'm so glad, my brothers and sisters, even in the midst of the crowd of Jesus, there are still some who are seeking Jesus. Let's look at verse 20. Now there were certain Greeks among those who came up to worship the feast. There will be some who are curious as to what is going on. There are some who are not saved, who are not part of God's people, who are seeking wisdom about Jesus. And it tells us in verse 21 that these Greeks, they came up to Philip and asked him, saying, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." My brothers and sisters, in spite of all that is going on in the world, there are still some who wish to see Jesus. There are still some who are seeking wisdom. There are still some who are curious about Jesus Christ. Curious about Jesus Christ. Regardless of where you are, some of us have a solid foundation. We know that we are a child of God. We are convinced of that because we have accepted him. We are convinced of that because of the mighty works he has done in our lives. We are convinced of that because we spend time in our secret place communing with him. But rest assured, there is still an opportunity for those who don't know Jesus Christ as Savior to learn about him, and not only to learn about him, but eventually accept him. eventually accept him. Some want signs. Some want wonders. But then others want Jesus. These Greeks came seeking wisdom. They were known for wisdom. But Proverbs 4:7 says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Get understanding. It's okay to have a lot of book knowledge. It's okay to be able to memorize the Bible, verse to verse, book to book. It's okay, but unless we have understanding, and with that understanding comes application to our lives. We get the wisdom, but don't lock up the wisdom. Seek understanding. Seek application. Jesus came with humility. The next time we will see Jesus, my brothers and sisters, as is prophesied in Revelation 19:11, he will come as a conquering hero. This is a week of decisions. The same ones who cheered Jesus on this day were the same ones who jeered him on Friday as he was led to his death. This is the same week that Peter would deny Jesus. This is the same week that Judas sold him for 30 pieces of silver. But this also is the same week where he is crucified and he is raised from the dead. More on that next week. So we look forward to you joining us again until we can meet again. And remember that Jesus did come. And as we look at this Palm Sunday, as we look at the beginning of this Passion Week, let us take time to reflect and read from the Gospels, the events of this week. Let us take time to meditate on the individuals who are present during the various aspects of this week and ask ourselves, where do we fit in among these individuals? And my prayer is that we fit in with that crowd that was worshiping and witnessing, the crowd that was ready to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior and believe on him regardless of what anybody else said. God bless you, my brothers and sisters. I love y'all and I miss y'all. I really do. And I look forward to the time when we can meet again physically. But in the meantime, let us keep physically distanced from one another. But let us continue to connect with one another. I find great joy in the text messages from you and the calls. And I encourage you to reach out and touch somebody else and check on them. And remember that we are family. It's not the building, but it's the people. It's the people. Until next week, let us pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for sending your son to be sacrificed for us. We thank you, Lord, for just choosing us to be your people, Father. And Father, as we reflect on this Passion Week, we gain a greater appreciation, Father, of how awesome and how wonderful you are. Now at this moment, I ask you to bless each individual who's listening or watching this service today. I pray that you put a hedge of protection around our homes, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you give us the wisdom to take the necessary precautions, Lord. But we do know, Lord, that this too shall pass. So therefore, we put our faith in you, Lord. As we hear mixed messages in the media, we put our faith in you, O Lord. And Lord, let us not keep this joy that we have to ourselves, but let us share it with others among us, Lord. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. And until we meet again, I'll be praying for each and every one of you. And remember, as Sister Tina gave the announcement, that we want to see what you look like next week. So send those videos, send those pictures. I will send an email link out to all who have participated in this service that we have their information and directions of how to do that. So God bless you. God bless you. And remember that the grave could not hold Jesus, but he rose for us. Have a great week. Blessings.